You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, publicised tension between the governing coalition members continued to grow as Foreign Minister Winston Peters released emails from Prime Minister Christopher Luxon from immediately after the beginning of the US-Israeli war in Iran, which seemed to show the Prime Minister considering an explicitly pro-US stance. Since the release of the emails, Luxon has said the emails mischaracterized his position and accused Peters of playing politics, while Peters has since apologized and chalked the release down to an error. The row has, however, sparked a range of voices commenting on the perceived conflict between the two parties. Looking forward to this year's election. Tensions have also popped up last week between the ACT Party and NZ First after the two parties disagreed over each other's immigration policies. Last week also saw the reveal of proposed changes to treaty obligations. The changes would make it so the required level of engagement with Te Tiriti across government decisions would be to take the treaty into account. I spoke with National Party MP Ryan Hamilton about these topics, starting with the released emails. Last week, following what were already tensions between some of the coalition partners, we saw the release of emails between the Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Winston Peters that seemingly displayed a pro-US stance on the Iran war from the Prime Minister in the days after the conflict started. What is the National Party stance on what was said and Peters releasing them to begin with?
What was said was what was said in the OIAs. I mean, I don't think there's further comment that's needed. Mr. Peters seemed to change his perspective a couple of times, but in our view, he acknowledged that releasing those emails was a process mistake.
Luxon has accused Peters of playing politics, and as you've said, Peters has acknowledged error in the releasing of the emails. But where does this leave the relations kind of between these two prominent politicians, especially on such a hot-button issue?
Oh, I think, you know, we've talked about in other weeks, Alex, too. I mean, you know, Winston Peters is a unique personality. He's, you know, autonomous in his own right as a leader, and he will say and do things that he's entitled to. And in an election year, there's going to be, I guess, distinctions made between the parties. But on the whole, I think New Zealand First supporters, National supporters, would still much rather have a coalition of the three parties than the alternative.
Former National Minister and MP Chris Finlayson has last week called on the party to declare war on New Zealand First, recommending that the National Party distance themselves from the party leading up to this election. Where does the National Party sit on these comments and potential concerns going into this election about coalition making?
Well, Mr. Finlayson is entitled to those views, as is everyone else, and often previous ministers and, you know, party members will have particular leanings or views or comments that the media quite like to give a platform to. But ultimately, we've still got, 5 months before the election or before Parliament rises. So it's important that we maintain, you know, cohesive government and continue to focus on the legislative agenda, which has got, policy that's led by National and policy that's led by the other parties. So I'm sure all of us will be, whilst we're starting to make distinctions in terms of party brand, I don't think there's any intention at all to disrupt status quo before the election and campaign proper. And I think that's when you'll start to see, I wouldn't use the term war, but I think you'll start to see, you know, parties start to fly their colours a bit more distinctly.
Looking outside of the National Party to the other two members of the coalition, the ACT Party and NZ First have now traded barbs over their respective immigration policy. Should New Zealanders take this as a sign that future coalitions with both of these parties may run into disagreements?
Yeah, I mean, all these things are all normal and natural before an election. I think parties will try and, you know, again, find those distinctions that resonate with their followers. But, you know, ultimately, you know, post the election, post ballot day, that's when you know, the rubber hits the road in terms of working through these issues. We've done that successfully under Prime Minister Chris Luxon previously, and I'm sure we'll be able to navigate those issues, you know, and those permutations when they come to the fore post November 7th.
And Immigration Minister Erica Stanford has criticised what she labelled as knee-jerk policies in the complex sector of immigration. Is this the minister calling the policies by both of these parties knee-jerk?
I don't have the context to which she was referring to, but what I can say is, you know, she's very across the portfolio and it is highly complex and there's lots of nuance and you know, passageways for different people depending on skill sets, timelines and those sorts of things. And I don't have any doubt that, you know, the other parties will be looking to find niche immigration policies that resonate and it might spark up some interest. But as I say, that's natural, this part of the election cycle, when those things will have to get worked through as, you know, once New Zealand's had their say on voting day.
And kind of looking towards that election then, when it comes to, you know, farther down the line, when these governments, as you said, these parties, sorry, as you said, kind of start showing their colours more, when can we kind of expect to see some sort of kind of positioning, especially if trying to maintain the stability of the coalition? When can we expect these sort of disagreements to be addressed fully?
Well, I think you're already starting to see them come to the surface. And I think it's only natural that they're going to be more and frequent, you know, as we get towards those dates. I think the real campaign period, once Parliament rises mid-September, I think that's when you'll start to see a little bit more clarity and, I guess, forcefulness around those policy positions. That's what it's all about. Politics is really the battle of ideas. But our job as the centre-right National-led government is to ensure if New Zealanders want stability, then a party vote for National is the only way to really secure that. So we'll be working hard to make sure our message is clear and get through, and they're not just, you know, going after a populist vote or a niche part of the community, but something that can take middle New Zealand through in a sustainable way.
And with that said, and just to wrap this topic up, does the National Party believe that this coalition is still stable?
100%.
Now, moving onwards, the government has seemingly begun to push changes to government obligations to Te Tiriti or Waitangi that would limit the influence of Te Tiriti on ministries to simply take into account the treaty. What is the government trying to achieve with these changes?
I think consistency. So, you know, the last 20 years, Parliament's passed a range of laws with all manners of reference to Te Tiriti or treaty, and generally, it's been interpreted different ways with different results from, you know, local councils, mana whenua across the country. And so they've all been reviewed to try and ensure that they're specific and consistent. And obviously that's also a big part of the RMA reform, where we're making sure that all treaty settlements are implicitly and explicitly included, because they've already been settled by the Crown. But trying to provide clarity for those that haven't, so there's more of a pathway. And in terms of the existing legislation outside of that, the government's obviously conducted, well, through an advisory group a process, and they've now come forward with a bunch of recommendations. And those recommendations are now being consulted with iwi leaders across the country before any legislation or decision-making is complete. So there is a process underway to try and find a way forward in that.
And what would the National Party say to concerns that maybe these changes are looking to lessen the impact and the influence of Te Tiriti?
I'd say the purpose of what we're trying to do is create consistency and clarity. And, you know, that would be true on non-iwi and for iwi, because even the way it's interpreted across iwi throughout the country is different, across different rohi and different interpretations. So it's really to try and find that pathway forward that will benefit both Māori and non-Māori going forward in a sustainable way.
And just finally, this government has already seen the highly controversial Treaty Principles Bill kind of get its moment in the sun and then ultimately not make it. Where does government kind of sit on comparing this bill in regards to changes to the more controversial Treaty Principles Bill?
I think that was, you know, from the get-go, was always highly controversial. It was, you know, linked very definitely to the ACT Party, and it was part of the coalition agreement, and we always knew it was going to be bumpy. I think this is far more nuanced, and there is, you know, direct consultation going on, as I said, with iwi. So obviously we're hopeful that we can find a pathway forward that's enduring and that's palatable for all sides, and, you know, all sides of the equation.
That was National Party MP Ryan Hamilton on continued tension between NZ First, the National Party and ACT, and changes to treaty obligations.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.